Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. People who speak more than one language make up a growing cohort of Vermont college students, including at Vermont State University. Later in today's show, we're going to talk with professors at VTSU and a recent graduate about incorporating the particular needs of English language learners and multilingual students into the classroom. But first, we're going to head over to New Hampshire for a look at the presidential race. Today, presumptive Democratic nominee and current Vice President Kamala Harris announced her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. It's the latest in a string of news from the presidential race between her and former President Donald Trump. And while presidential politics are usually pretty easy to predict in Vermont, things are a little different over in New Hampshire. So today, we are joined by Boston Globe reporter Stephen Porter. He covers New Hampshire with a focus on politics, civil and criminal justice. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michaela. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you're here with us. Now, Stephen, as you know, this is a Vermont-based show, but we have lots of listeners in New Hampshire. And I want to start by kind of diving into the differences between presidential politics in these two states. Vermont was Joe Biden's strongest state in 2020. It's reliably blue, very progressive. How does New Hampshire stack up? How is it similar or different?
Well, typically in the general election, we would generally expect New Hampshire to lean toward the Democratic nominee. The Democratic nominee has won New Hampshire's four electoral college votes since every election, I think since 2004. So 2000 was the last time the Republican nominee won in the general election. I think, you know, one of the things that really makes New Hampshire stand out, of course, is our first in the nation presidential primary. So I like to talk about how the energy of the primary that comes into our state every 4 years never fully dissipates. And so I think that's also something that's interesting to watch. So even though generally we would expect New Hampshire in the general election to go for the Democratic nominee, it's still an interesting job watching politics in the in-between.
Right. And let's talk for a minute about this cherished tradition of hosting the first primary. Things were a little bit different this year. The Democratic National Committee challenged New Hampshire's tradition. Tell us a little bit more about that and how it could impact the general election.
For sure. So this year was quite different there, and also last year in the run-up to the 2024 primary. So the DNC, at President Biden's urging, decided to recognize South Carolina rather than New Hampshire as hosting the first presidential nominating event of the 2024 cycle. And part of the argument that Biden and the DNC made in order to make the case for this change was that New Hampshire is demographically very white, and South Carolina going first would elevate the voices of Black voters and better reflect the racial diversity of our country in the process by which the Democratic Party selects presidential candidates. Now, under the DNC's calendar, New Hampshire would still go very early in the process, but it would be second and share a day with Nevada.
Well, second just doesn't have the same ring as first, does it?
It does not. And New Hampshire said, no, we're going first. And so New Hampshire held its traditional first in the nation primary this year against the wishes of Biden and the DNC.
And they had a write-in campaign for Biden. Is that right?
That is correct. So because Biden and the DNC said South Carolina, not New Hampshire, is first, Biden and the DNC pretended for the most part that New Hampshire didn't have that traditional first in the nation primary. But there were a lot of supporters of Biden here on the ground in New Hampshire who said, we want him to win our contest, even if he's not going to be on the ballot. So they launched a write-in campaign and handed him the victory in absentia. He beat his top Democratic challenger, Dean Phillips, by I think he tripled the number of votes that Dean Phillips got.
All right. Well, very different landscape now compared to then, with Kamala Harris as the presumptive Democratic nominee. First, let's talk big picture here about what New Hampshire voters care most about? I mean, here in Vermont, we hear so much about, you know, rising property taxes on the local level, about housing affordability, about flood mitigation. What are some of the big topics coming up for New Hampshire voters this year?
Well, I think, you know, as is usually the case with politics, it depends on who you ask.
Sure.
But some of the major topics that we hear come up a lot have to do with those economic pressures that you're talking about, those kitchen table concerns, those pocketbook concerns. Inflation is real, and it has pinched kind of, you know, consumers in their day to day. And so I think that that is something that we're hearing a lot on the campaign trail. And then also, especially if you're talking to Republicans or conservative leaning independents, I think there's a lot of concerns about immigration and border security. And a lot of times that conversation gets wrapped up in broader conversations about, you know, law enforcement and public safety concerns as well. So those are probably the two biggest areas that I would point to as what we hear most often, aside from Democrats also really underscoring concerns about reproductive health care. Mm-hmm. So identify those three.
Well, if you're in New Hampshire listening right now, call in and tell us what issues matter most to you this election cycle. 800-639-2211. And since we just got the big news this morning about Kamala Harris's vice presidential pick, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that too, whether you're in Vermont, New Hampshire, somewhere else. 800-639-2211 is our number. All right. So, Stephen, we are 91 days. I Googled it this morning. 91 days from the presidential election. What does the most recent polling look like in New Hampshire?
So about a week ago, we got three new polls of New Hampshire voters, and they pretty much all say the same thing, which is that voters here like Kamala Harris better than they liked Joe Biden at the top of the Democratic ticket. There were two polls that came out on the same day showing her with a 6-point lead over Donald Trump. Those same organizations had polls earlier that showed a much closer race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And one poll even showed Joe Biden behind Donald Trump in New Hampshire, which, you know, as I mentioned before, we generally expect New Hampshire to lean toward the Democratic nominee. But a month ago, there were headlines in my publication. My colleague Emma Platoff had a story about how New Hampshire could be in play for Donald Trump this year. And so I think that the latest round of polls that we've seen show kind of a reset where at this moment, Kamala Harris in New Hampshire appears to be on a much better path to probably winning New Hampshire than Joe Biden was when he was at the top of the ticket. Mm.
And if you're just joining us, we are speaking with Boston Globe reporter Stephen Porter, who covers New Hampshire. Stephen, you mentioned those polls. Of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is also still in the mix. Is there any chance that the folks who say that they're going to vote for him might have a sway in New Hampshire?
Yeah, you know, the Emerson College poll that came out, I think it was 6 days ago, had an interesting distinction. Because if you just look at Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump, there was a 4-point difference with Kamala Harris ahead of Trump by 4 points. But if you incorporate the third party candidates, including RFK Jr., who got 6% in that poll among New Hampshire voters, if you include those third party candidates, then Kamala Harris has, I believe it is a 7-point lead over Donald Trump. And so there was some question about does Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being in the race pull more votes from Democrats or from Republicans? And this particular poll makes it look like RFK Jr. pulls more votes, at least in New Hampshire, from the Trump side of the race. So RFK's presence hurts Trump more, according to that Emerson College poll.
Now, New Hampshire is a pretty popular state for candidates and their surrogates to visit during an election year. Have Donald Trump or Kamala Harris visited the state recently?
They have. They have visited the state, and also high-profile surrogates have visited the state. I'm sorry, Kamala Harris has not recently, but high-profile surrogates for Kamala Harris have. Including, I was looking back at the recent visits from both of the people who were considered kind of the finalists for her vice president pick, and they both had visited the state recently, as did California Governor Gavin Newsom and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So we've got a steady drumbeat of people coming through the state who are singing the praises of Kamala Harris, even if she is not personally set foot recently. But that is part of our political tradition.
Right. And Doug Emhoff, Harris's husband, visited New Hampshire last week, as you mentioned, as part of an event on reproductive freedom. It was part of a kind of larger campaign and fundraising swing through New England. Yes,
exactly. Yes. Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the news of today. Kamala Harris making her vice presidential pick, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. He was scheduled to visit New Hampshire recently, but changed his plans at the very last minute. Do we know why?
Oh, you know, I think that there is lots of speculation as to why. Candidly, from my perspective as a reporter, I try not to get into too much of that speculation. But, you know, he was scheduled to be here and then did not come. And now is the pick. So those are the events that have.
Those are the facts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, in late July, very recently, but before he was picked to be Harris's vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz was on MSNBC and he was asked about bringing in both rural and urban votes. And in his response, which we'll listen to now, he talked about moving away from divisive rhetoric.
We do not like what has happened where we can't even go to Thanksgiving dinner with our uncle because you end up in some weird fight that is unnecessary. And I think bringing back people together, well, it's true. These guys are just weird.
Now, for context, Walz has been credited with catapulting the term weird back into the lexicon of this race. And the Harris campaign has even adopted the phrase. With Walz, the official VP pick, have you gotten any word of reaction in New Hampshire this morning? How do you think this will play with New Hampshire voters?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really interesting question. I was speaking with a couple of voters this morning, one who told me, look, I just got the news alert. I don't know much about this guy and how he'll impact.
Give me a minute, Stephen.
Exactly. But I did speak with another a Republican who is supporting the Harris-Walz ticket, and she spoke very highly of Walz and was very excited. She's continuing to support Republicans in other races this year. So she's going to be one of the split ticket voters. And so I think one of the things that I'll be watching closely is, you know, does she represent kind of an outlier for moderates in New Hampshire, or does she represent where a lot of people are going? We talked earlier about the first in the nation presidential primary. And there were voters who backed Nikki Haley in that Republican contest because she was on the ballot. And I think that some of them were looking for a direction to go in. And so we'll be watching and listening to see if they ultimately land where this voter I was talking today lands, which is splitting their ticket.
Mm. Now, are there particular regions in New Hampshire that could be decisive or play a key role in November?
So we have two congressional districts, and the second congressional district tends to lean a little bit more Democratic than the first. So when the polling a month ago was showing Biden versus Trump potentially posing a problem for Democrats, one of the things that I was looking at was, okay, what are the potential impacts in the first congressional district where Chris Pappas is running for re-election? So I still think that that is a race to watch because the first congressional district could be a little bit more competitive. But other than that, I think that there's just kind of a difference between the North Country and the more populous southern counties. But the differences between the first and congressional district may be interesting to watch as well.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, before we let you go, I want to make sure we touch on New Hampshire's governor, Chris Sununu, who's fairly popular in the state. And he's been critical of former President Donald Trump in the past. But in recent months, he said he would vote for Trump and has sort of fallen in line, if you will. Do you think that Sununu like plays a role for boosting Trump in New Hampshire?
I don't know that he would necessarily play a role for boosting him. The way that I've made sense of his endorsement is it's kind of what some members of the Republican Party see as necessary in order to achieve some level of party unity in November. That's the way that I've made sense of it, because he is certainly not enthusiastically supporting Trump for the presidential ticket. He was very enthusiastic in support of Nikki Haley in the presidential primary. But we're not seeing that same level of enthusiasm. And I think there are a lot of people who already support Donald Trump who don't like Chris Sununu because of everything that's happened up until this point. So I wouldn't necessarily view the governor's stance as a huge boost to the former president in this race in New Hampshire. Mm.
Well, regardless, it's going to be an interesting 91 days ahead of us until the elections in November. Stephen Porter is a New Hampshire reporter for the Boston Globe. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.